رحمه الله وبركاته. So tonight's reflection is going to be on Surah Ibrahim verses 19 through 22 inshallah. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أنبياء الله جميعا وعلى سيدهم وخاتمهم حبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا وعلى سيدنا ومولانا وقائدنا وإمامنا الإمام الحجة ابن الحسن المهدي المنتظر عجل الله تعالى فرجه الشريف وجعلنا من أنصاره وأعوانه. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ألم تر أن الله خلق السماوات والأرض بالحق إن يشأ يذهبكم ويأتي بخلق جديد وما ذلك على الله بعزيز. وبرزوا لله جميعا فقال الضعفاء للذين استكبروا إنا كنا لكم تبعا فهل أنتم مغنون عنا من عذاب الله من شيء قالوا لو هدانا الله لهديناكم سواء علينا أجزعنا أم صبرنا ما لنا من محيص. وقال الشيطان لما قضي الأمر إن الله وعدكم وعد الحق ووعدتكم فأخلفتكم وما كان لي عليكم من سلطان إلا أن دعوتكم فاستجبتم لي فلا تلوموني ولوموا أنفسكم ما أنا بمصرخكم وما أنتم بمصرخي إني كفرت بما أشركتموني من قبل إن الظالمين لهم عذاب أليم. صدق الله العلي العظيم. So 19 begins with this question. ألم تر أن الله خلق السماوات والأرض بالحق. Have you not considered? Of course, the Quran addresses the Prophet, but through the Prophet, he is addressing mankind. Have you not considered that God created the heaven and earth in truth? What does in truth mean here? Many people ask, why did God create the heaven and the earth? Why did God create this vast universe? The universe is too big. Is there any need for this big universe? You know, still today, science could not discover 90% of the universe. 90% is hidden. What they discovered so far, they believe it's only 10%. 90% they know nothing about it. So why this vastness, this greatness of this universe? Is there any need for it? There are two answers. Answer number one is that yes, there is need for it because God does not create, as he says, he does not create anything without purpose, anything in vain. Sometimes we build homes bigger than our need. The size of the house, the size of the mansion, the size of the school, the size of the city, bigger than our need. But God does not do that. God says, everything I create is with measurement. Inna kulla shay'in anzalnahu khalaqnahu biqadr. We created everything, khalaqnahu biqadr, with measurement, according to the need. So one answer is that there could be other creatures in this universe. Don't look at your home, your neighborhood, your earth. There is a possibility that somewhere in this vast universe that are other creatures who worship God. So they need a space. They need their own space. The second answer is that we recognize the greatness, the grandeur, the ability, the talent, the greatness of a person through his or her production, through his or her achievements in this life. I remember one time I was reading about the Empire State Building, why they built it back in 1930s in New York. One of the main reasons to build this high-rise building back then, 80, 90 years ago, is to exhibit America's greatness. To say that America, the city of New York, is very great. It's city number one. Look at what we did. Look at our achievement. So God does not want to show off his greatness, but sometimes God wants to convince us to believe in him. He's different than others. His work is different. Many people believed in God when they discovered the universe around them. And this is exactly what God says in the Quran. God says, look at your creation, how sophisticated you are, how complex your system is. لَخَلْقُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ أَكْبَرُ مِنْ خَلْقِ النَّاسِ. The creation of the heaven and the earth is much more complex and much more greater than the creation of the humans. لَخَلْقُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ أَكْبَرُ مِنْ خَلْقِ النَّاسِ. So some people look at God's work. They look at this universe. وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. God says the intelligent ones, those who have a brain, أولي الألباب, وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا. O our Lord, you did not establish and create this vast universe in vain, without purpose. There is a purpose. And that purpose is to make you believe in God. If that what it takes, God will do it. If that what it takes to make human believe in God and go back to God, then God will create this universe. And he will make it very vast and limitless. And it is a growing. And the Quran says it is ever growing. This universe is expanding, ever expanding. Until one day it will reach a point. At that day God says, no more growth. Here, mission accomplished. إِذَا الشَّمْسُ كُوِّرَتْ وَإِذَا النُّجُومُ انْكَدَرَتْ وَإِذَا الْجِبَالُ سُيِّرَتْ وَإِذَا الْعِشَارُ عُطِّلَتْ وَإِذَا الْبِحَارُ سُجِّرَتْ. At that day, the day of judgment, that's it. There is no more need for this universe. There is another universe waiting for us. This current universe is going to collapse. It's going to come to an end. So, God says, أَلَمْ تَرَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ بِالْحَقِّ. He created them in a truth. In a truth, here it means for a specific reason. For a specific reason. إِنْ يَشَأْ يُذْهِبْكُمْ إِنْ يَشَأْ يُذْهِبْكُمْ. If he wills, he will remove you and bring a new creation. وَيَأْتِ بِخَلْقٍ جَدِيدٍ. Why does God say this sentence? Why he says, if he wills, he would remove us? Because he wants to say that I am not in need to the people. God is free of all needs. That is the main difference between God and people. When you have a conversation with our Christian friends, this is what we must tell them. The main difference between Islam and Christianity is this sentence. The rest are secondary. This is the main difference. What is the main difference? I put it in one sentence. That God is self-sufficient. God is free of all needs. Jesus cannot be God, because Jesus was full of needs. Jesus needed everything. He cannot be God. He can't be God. He's not self-sufficient. Jesus needed to survive. He needed basic things. God does not need anything to survive. Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyu al-qayyum. He's self-subsisting. He doesn't need anything. Whereas Jesus needed everything to survive. So he cannot be God. Jesus can be the servant of God, the prophet of God, the slave of God, but not God himself, neither the Son of God. God is self-sufficient. God does not need anyone in this universe. He can live by himself, independent, completely. So God says, I don't need anyone. In yasha' yudhibkum, if he wills, he can remove all of you, the creation, وَيَأْتِ بِخَلْقٍ جَدِيدٍ, and he can bring a new creation. وَمَا ذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ بِعَزِيزٍ, and this is not a big deal for God. It's not a big matter for God. This is easy for God to do. It's very easy for him. وَمَا ذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ بِعَزِيزٍ, and then we go to number 21. وَبَرَزُوا لِلَّهِ جَمِيعًا. The two sides will appear before God altogether. Which sides? The followed, those who have been followed, who are arrogant, and their followers, who were deceived by them, who were brainwashed by them. This is a parable in the Quran. This is a parable. Verse 21 and 22. A parable, a story of how some people follow others blindly in this life. They don't use their brain. They don't think. They just follow blindly. They follow them blindly. They don't question them. They don't question their integrity. They don't give themselves a chance to say, let me think about what this guy is saying. How can I follow him blindly? God has given us a brain. And the brain is for reason, to reason with your brain, to discover with your brain, to question, to ask, to challenge. You cannot follow blindly. So God says, those who follow blindly, وَبَرَزُوا لِلَّهِ جَمِيعًا, they will appear before God altogether, both parties. فَقَالَ الضُّعَفَاءُ, the weak will say, who are the weak, my friends, in this context? Who are meant by the term weak? فَقَالَ الضُّعَفَاءُ مُوْ إِنْتَ يَا حَبِيبِ وَقَالَ الضُّعَفَاءُ. So the weak are going to say, who are the weak here? The weak, who are the one who doesn't have what? Huh? No, not faith. In this context, in this very context. Two groups, they gather before God. The Dhu'afa, yes, exactly. Murtada said something. He pointed to here. Those who are weak, mentally weak. Mentally weak, intellectually weak, means what? Means those who follow blindly. They don't use their reason, they follow blindly. So they are mentally weak. Mentally weak. They follow a cult, they follow religion. Millions of people today, worldwide, go from Japan to China to India to Africa to Asia to Africa to America to Canada to the wealthiest communities. You find some people follow others blindly. They follow them in the temples and the churches and the mosques and in the synagogues and all the places. They follow blindly. They don't ask. They don't question. God says those are the weak, mustadhaf. And the worst type of istidhaf, oppression, is the intellectual oppression. Sometimes someone exploits you financially. He steals your money. Maybe he steals some money from here. You can recover from there. And sometimes someone steals your home from you, your clothing, your food. But when he steals your brain from you, this is the disaster. This is the biggest disaster when someone steals the brain from you. He leaves you with nothing. If a brain is taken away, you cannot recover. You cannot recover. He exploits your brain. This is the worst type of exploitation, istidaf. So, وَقَالَ الضُّعَفَاءُ لِلَّذِينَ فَقَالَ الضُّعَفَاءُ. Here, those who have been exploited and manipulated for many years, they're going to say to their leaders who exploited them, who took advantage of them, فَقَالَ الضُّعَفَاءُ لِلَّذِينَ اسْتَكْبَرُوا. Stakbaru, to those who are arrogant, who exploited them. Inna kunna lakum taba'an. In this life, we followed you. We followed you blindly. We listened to your instructions. You told us what to do, what to believe, and we followed you. Inna kunna lakum taba'an. We followed you. Fahal antum, today, on this day, the day of judgment, where we stand before God for a trial. فَهَلْ أَنْتُمْ مُغْنُونَ عَنَّا مِنْ عَذَابِ اللَّهِ عَنَّا مِنْ عَذَابِ اللَّهِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. Can you avail us against the torment, against the punishment of God? Can you help me? For 7 years you've been misleading me, lying to me. You took me into another direction. Today, can you save me from the punishment? Can you avail me against God's punishment? فَهَلْ أَنْتُمْ مُغْنُونَ Anna min adabillahi min shay'. What the answer is going to be of the arrogance, their leaders? The answer is, قالوا لو هدانا الله لهديناكم. If we can save, hidayah here again is specific, my friends. Every word in the Quran has two meanings, one general meaning, one specific. So in this context, hidayah is guidance, that's the general meaning. The specific meaning here in this sentence is showing us the way to paradise. Opening the way for us to paradise. This is the meaning of hidayah. So they're going to answer them and tell them, if we can find the way to paradise, we will show it to you, but unfortunately we can't. We can't find our way. We can't. Because visibility is zero. Visibility is zero. We cannot find our way. قَالُوا لَوْ هَدَانَ اللَّهُ لَهَدَيْنَاكُمْ. If we can find our way, we will show you the way. But I'm blind, I can't find my way. God says some people on the Day of Judgment are completely blind. وَمَنْ لَمْ يَجْعَلِ اللَّهُ لَهُ نُورًا فَمَا لَهُ مِنْ نُورٍ. They can't find their way. They need someone to guide them. So they're going to tell them, don't ask me for guidance. I can't find my way. I cannot find my way. How can I guide you? فَهَلْ أَنْتُمْ مُغْنُونَ عَنَّا مِنْ عَذَابِ اللَّهِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. قَالُوا لَوْ هَدَانَ اللَّهُ لَهَدَيْنَاكُمْ. سَوَاءٌ عَلَيْنَا أَجَزِعْنَا أَمْ صَبَرْنَا مَا لَنَا مِنْ مَحِيصٍ. We can't find a way to save ourselves, let alone save you. So no blind following in Islam. God says you have a responsibility, you have a brain, use your brain. 2 days ago, I saw a tweet by someone famous in America. He was quoting Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawziyya. Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawziyya, brief, he's from Damascus, Syria, 700 years ago. He's a Shia phobe. He hates Ahlul Bayt. He considers the Shia are people of Jahannam with his master Ibn Taymiyyah. They nicknamed the Shia as Rafida, Rafidis, rejectors of faith according to them, and then they don't deserve salvation. So Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawziyyah, this man writes in his book, I'm giving you an example of a blind following. He writes in his book, he makes a comparison between Lady Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam and some of the wives of the Prophet. He says sometimes Fatima is superior to her and sometimes that lady is superior to Fatima, greater than Fatima. And then he explains how Aisha is superior to Fatima. He says when it comes to knowledge and wisdom, Aisha is much more knowledgeable and wiser than Fatima. Look at prejudice. This man did not read this book. Alhamdulillah, we have a book which is a source of evidence, this book, the Holy Quran. We go back to this book. We take this book as a judge. First of all, Fatima alayhi salam bequeathed a book from her father, and that book's name is what? Mushafu Fatima, a book of Fatima. She used to be with her father during private times, whenever her father is with her at home. Her father will give her knowledge. He will answer her questions. He will give her suggestions, ideas, and she will write them down in her book. And this book, she gave this book to her children. It was with her husband Imam Ali, after Imam Ali with Imam Hassan, Imam Hussein, Imam Ali ibn al-Hussein. Until now, we believe it's with Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salatu wassalam. So Fatima was an author. She wrote a book during her lifetime, during the lifetime of her father. And this book is well known. None of the wives of the Prophet wrote even a single paper. Fatima wrote a book, Mushaf Fatima. And this book from A to Z is the knowledge of her father, Rasulullah. This is number one. Number two, Fatima is muhaddatha. Beside her father, Jibreel would descend upon the Fatima. If she has a question, she asks Jibreel, muhaddatha. Muhaddatha, tuhaddithuha al-malaika. She speaks to the angels. Number three, Fatima, she lived maybe 18 years, maybe 20 years, I don't know exactly. She was surrounded by two men her entire life. And those two men are the greatest men God ever created in this universe. One of them is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the second is Ali ibn Abi Talib. The most two knowledgeable people on earth. Fatima lived with them. One of them her father, the other her husband. Nobody can surpass Fatima in her knowledge. Nobody. Nobody. Neither Aisha nor Hafsa nor the entire women of universe. They cannot surpass Fatima in her knowledge. This is number one. Number two, read this book. Chapter 66, verses 4 and 5. Remember, very easy. Chapter Tahrim, 66. Very easy to remember. 66, verses 4 and 5. See what God says to Aisha and Hafsa, and then read another chapter and see what God says to Fatima, and compare, and you have to draw the conclusion. God says about Aisha and Hafsa, according to all exegists, all scholars, all those who interpreted the Quran, God says to them, إِن تَتُوبَا إِلَى اللَّهِ فَقَدْ صَغَتْ قُلُوبُكُمَا. You must repent to God because you committed a grave sin. Grave sin. صَغَتْ قُلُوبُكُمَا. صَغَتْ, it means diverted from the truth. Check it out in the tafsir, the meaning. فَقَدْ صَغَتْ قُلُوبُكُمَا. Your souls, your hearts, diverted from the truth. وَإِن تَظَاهَرَ عَلَيْهِ. But if you insist on your wrongdoing, فَإِنَّ اللَّهُ وَمَوْلَاهُ. God is going to defend the Prophet and Jibreel and the angels and the community of the believers. They're going to be on one side and you two guys are going to be on the other side. And then number five says, verse number five, عَسَى رَبُّهُ إِن طَلَّقَكُنَّ أَن يُبْدِلَهُ أَزْوَاجًا خَيْرًا مِنْكُنْ. If God decides to divorce you, God himself, to divorce you from the Prophet, he will replace you with other wives who are better than you. خَيْرًا مِنْكُنْ. Not only Fatima al-Zahra is better than you, other women are better than you. You think you are compared to Fatima? أَهْلُ الْبَيْتِ إِنَّا أَهْلُ الْبَيْتِ لَا يُقَاسُ بِنَا أَحَدٍ. No one is being compared to أَهْلُ الْبَيْتِ. No one. No one. Ahl al-Bayt are unique. You cannot compare them to anyone. Fatima, the Prophet, was asked, Ya Rasulullah, you say about your daughter, she's Sayyidat Nisa al-Alameen. Then how about Maryam? He said, Maryam, Sayyidat Nisa'i Ahli Zamaniha. She's the master of the ladies of her period. My daughter Fatima, Sayyidat Nisa'i al-Alameen. Min al-awwalin ila al-akhirin. From the beginning of the creation till the end. However, there are still some people who do not use their brains. They have the Quran, they don't read it. What does God say about Fatima in the Quran? إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهِ لِيُذْهِبَ عَنْكُمُ الرِّجْسَ أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ وَيُطَحِّرَكُمْ تَطْحِيرًا. In the same chapter, which is 33, what does God say about the wives of the Prophet? يَا أَيُّهَا النَّبِيُّ قُلْ لِأَزْوَاجِكَ. Say, remind your wives. إِن كُنْتُنَّ تُرِدْنَا الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا وَزِينَتَهَا. If you are attached to the dunya, the zina, the ornaments of the dunya, then leave me. You cannot be my wife. I want someone who is attached to the akhirah. This is in the Quran, my friends. And then you come and tell me that Aisha is superior to Fatima? Shame on you. Shame on you and your teacher and your imam and your madhab and the one who introduced you to Islam. Shame on you. This is a prejudice. This is a prejudice. Muslims always complain about others. You have to complain about yourself, your brain. The reason you are backward, because you don't use your brain. The reason you are backward, you don't do justice to your own prophet, to the family of the prophet. How do you want God to save you? كَيْفَ يَهْدِ اللَّهُ قَوْمًا كَفَرُوا. God says this in this book. How can I save people who deliberately disbelieved in me? كَفَرُوا بَعْدَ إِيمَانِهِمْ. I show them the truth. They reject the truth out of prejudice, only prejudice. People hated Ahlul Bayt out of a prejudice, not ignorance, prejudice. There is a difference between ignorance. Maybe God will forgive the ignorant, but He does not forgive those who have a prejudice and bias. He doesn't forgive them. This is inad, this is arrogance. So no to the blind following, my friends. God has given us brain. We have to take care of this brain. Utilize this brain. In Kitab al-Kafi, the most important book of hadith of Ahlul Bayt, Kitab al-Kafi, Shaykhun al-Kulayni. Kulayni was born in southern Tehran. Near Tehran is buried in Baghdad. He was born in Kulayn, near Ray. Ray is the current Tehran. The ancient name was Ray. But he's buried, he died and he's buried in Baghdad. Shaykh al-Kulayni, he gathered 17,000 hadith, 17,000 hadith of Ahlul Bayt. Mostly the hadith of Imam al-Baqir and Imam al-Sadiq, alayhi salatu wassalam. And those two imams, their hadiths is connected to the Prophet. Imam al-Baqir, whatever he says, he brings it from his Prophet, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Same thing with Imam al-Sadiq. So in this hadith, the very first chapter of this book is what? Huh? Ahsant. Who said that? Huh? Barakallah. Kitabul Aqli wal Jahl. Kitabul Aqli wal Jahl. The first chapter of the book is the book of reason and ignorance. The virtue of reason and the danger of ignorance. What does that mean? It means my religion is based on what? On reason. On reason, not a blind following. I have to use my reason when I read the Quran. Quran answers all our questions, believe me. All our questions, provided that we use aql and reason. If we don't use aql and reason, we get the wrong answer. We start hallucinating. We start saying fulan and fulan are better than Ahlul Bayt. Hallucination. فهل أنتم مغنون عنا من عذاب الله من شيء؟ قالوا لو هدانا الله لهديناكم. If we can find our way, we will show you the way. But we can't find our way. سواء علينا أجزعنا أم صبرنا ما لنا من محيص. Let me conclude with this. 22. So next week we begin fresh from another perspective. وقال الشيطان لما قضي الأمر. When the matter is settled. What does matter settled mean here? Reference to what? لما قضي الأمر. Matter is settled. Exactly. When the day of judgment begins and everyone knows where to go. Everyone knows his direction. Whether to go to the right or left. Two highways on the day of judgment. Two highways. You can choose your direction here. You can choose it here. Plan your trip here. Go to Trip Advisory and say, I want to go أصحاب اليمين, ما أصحاب اليمين. Don't go أصحاب الشمال. Choose it here. You have to do the selection here. Booking, you have to do the booking here. وقال الشيطان, Satan said, لما قضي الأمر. When everything is settled, people know, people of paradise go to paradise, people who were arrogant, they go to their destination. إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَعَدَكُمْ وَعْدَ الْحَقِّ Because he's going to be taken to where? To Jahannam. So he's going to make a statement. Listen to the statement of Shaytan. Before they send him into punishment, he has to make a declaration. What is his declaration? إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَعَدَكُمْ وَعْدَ الْحَقِّ Your Lord gave you a true promise. On the other hand, وَوَعَدْتُكُمْ I also gave you promise. فَأَخْلَفْتُكُمْ But I failed you. I lied to you. So there were two promises. Promise given to you by God. God fulfilled his promise. And a promise given to you by me. And I failed you. I failed you. فَأَخْلَفْتُكُمْ خُلْفُ الْوَعْدِ When you don't honor your promise, خُلْفُ الْوَعْدِ فَأَخْلَفْتُكُمْ وَمَا كَانَ لِي عَلَيْكُمْ مِنْ سُلْطَانٍ إِلَّا أَنْ دَعَوْتُكُمْ فَاسْتَجَبْتُمْ لِي فَلَا تَلُومُونِي وَلُومُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ He's saying, don't blame me. I only invited you. Don't put all the blame on me. My job was just to invite. You responded. You came. You hurried to me. So don't tell me, Shaytan, it's all about Shaytan. No, it's about you too. When someone gives you drugs, and then you use the drugs. Can you blame it on him? Can you tell the judge, he told me so. The judge says, where is your brain? Where is your choice? You had a choice. If someone gives you a gun and he says, shoot someone, can you tell the judge, he told me so? God says, yeah, he gave you the gun, but where is your brain? Where is your choice? We have a choice here. Don't blame it on the shaytan. Shaytan has limited authority on us. What shaytan does is only to invite. That's it. He sends the invitation. That's it. We run after him. We run after him. Shaytan does 1% of the job. We do the 99%. We have to bear the responsibility. فَاسْتَجَبْتُمْ لِي You responded to me. فَلَا تَلُومُونِي Do not blame me. وَلُومُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ Blame yourself. مَا أَنَا بِمُصْرِخِكُمْ Neither you going to help me today, nor I'm going to help you. We can't help each other. مَا أَنَا بِمُصْرِخِكُمْ وَمَا أَنْتُمْ بِمُصْرِخِي إِنِّي كَفَرْتُ بِمَا أَشْرَكْتُمُونِي مِنْ قَبْلِ إِنَّ الظَّالِمِينَ لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ Imagine even the shaitan, the source of evil, is going to say, I disbelieve in myself. He's going to disbelieve in himself. So, my friends, those tyrants and arrogants are going to disavow their followers. They are not going to hold their hands. Be careful. Don't make the wrong choice. Whereas Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Amir al-Mu'mineen, Fatimatul Zahra, Ahlul Bayt, the Anbiya, the Imams, the righteous, are going to hold your hand. Fatima al-Zahra, we are living through her days, these days. Let me say one sentence. And inshallah, the soul of Aya Yaghma'i will benefit from this sentence because he loved Ahlul Bayt, he loved Fatima al-Zahra, and now he needs his Lord's mercy. We all need our Lord's forgiveness and mercy. يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونَ. Our wealth is not going to help us. Our families are not going to help us. But what you did here is going to help you. This man was helping for, I don't know, 20 years? Aya say, how many years? God knows. The first time I heard his name was 20 years ago, when he was helping. Good for him. He was doing the best type of investment. Try to make some investment for the Akhirah. Try to make some investment. Believe me. Try to make, we need these investments. Nothing better than the faith in God and helping people around us. Helping people left and right. Whatever you can. Sometimes it's not your money, it's someone else's money. But you use it. You say, I'll take care of it. Give it to me. I'm going to give it to those who deserve. Let me conclude with this sentence about Fatima alayhi salam. Fatima, on the day Imam Ali came asking for her hand, the Prophet said to him, Ya Ali, what marriage gift? Of course, this is the sunnah. The Prophet wants to teach us that if you ask for a girl's hand, you have to provide marriage gift, symbolic marriage gift. So the Prophet said, Ya Ali, what do you have to offer as a marriage gift to my daughter Fatima? Imam Ali said, بأبي أنت وأمي يا رسول الله. May my life be your ransom. لا يخفى عليك من أمري شيء. You know everything about me. You were the one who raised me. So you know how much is in my bank account. I have three items. I own three items. Sayfi, my sword. وناضحي, the skin water container when I use it for irrigation. And the third one is my armor, ودرعي. These are three items I have them. The Prophet said to him, Ya Ali, you're safe, your sword, we need it because you defend us. So you have to keep your sword. And Nadih, the skin water container, you also need it because you are a breadwinner. You're going to be breadwinner. I'm giving you my daughter. You need to work and earn money through this. But the third one, the armor, you don't need an armor. You are a brave man. Nobody can approach you. Go and sell it. He sold it in the market for 470 dirham. 470 silver coin, not gold coin, silver coin. And that was the down payment for his mortgage, huh? From Bank of America. That was the down payment for his wedding, for his house, for the furniture, for everything. 470 dirham. Sadaq al-Zahra. Today they know, it's well known as Sadaq al-Zahra or Mahr al-Zahra. This is Mahr al-Zahra. Then Fatima came to her father. She said, Ya Rasulallah, women in Mecca, they said you married the poorest person. Fatima said, yes. Yes, financially he's the poorest. But ethically, morally, religiously, he's the richest person on earth. He's the richest person on earth. And yet, Fatima, let me tell you that this is Jibreel is coming from God and saying the real mahar for Fatima, her real marriage gift, is shafa'atuha fil mudhnibina min shi'atiha yawm al-qiyamah. God is going to give her the right to intercede, to practice her shafa'a, intercession, on behalf of those who are sinners and guilty of her followers on the Day of Judgment. So we are waiting for that shafa'ah. And Mr. Yaghma'i is going to receive her shafa'ah because he died on the day Fatima alayhi salam, the anniversary of her death. Allahumma aghfir lil mu'minina wal mu'minat wal muslimina wal muslimat. الأحياء منهم والأموات تابع اللهم بيننا وبينهم بالخيرات. We give condolences to the community, to the Yasai family, for the departure of this man at the age of 65. I was in Atlanta during the Fatimiyya. Again, we received the news of someone who died at the age of 62. We have to be prepared. Death is very indiscriminate. Does not distinguish between an old, young man, woman, someone who's just beginning his life, someone who's ending his life. We have to be prepared. We have to be prepared, my friends. وإلى أرواح المؤمنين والمؤمنات وإلى روح المرحوم أغاية أغمائي الفاتحة مع الصلاة على محمد وآل محمد.